Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Well, Alan Levy cannot be here today. He's attending pressing matters pertaining to Blog Talk Radio. But I'm Sean Daly, Sean O'Mac. I'm here. I'll be guest hosting in his place. So we'll be having a couple of guest joins in just a few minutes on the Alan Levy Show. And today is Monday. It is September the 15th, 2008. And don't forget, later this week, we'll be at the Web 2.0 Expo in New York at the Javits Center. Pardon me if I'm getting the name pronunciation of that center wrong, but the Javits Convention Center in New York City. You can check that out here on the Blog Talk Radio homepage. There's a button on there that'll say Web 2.0. We'll be there beginning part of the week. And then at the end of the week, we'll be in Las Vegas attending the Blog World Expo. So that's also going to be have its own channel here on Blog Talk Radio as well. So a couple of huge events. So if you happen to be in the area around the Javits Center at the Web 2.0 Expo, we'd be delighted to see you. Listeners, hosts, you want to come by, say hello, we have a booth at both of these wonderful expos, and I look forward to seeing many hosts out there. Hopefully many listeners will come by and say hello to us and put the faces to the voices here on Blog Talk Radio, so that would be nice. And the same thing here in Las Vegas. We just got done talking to Dawn and Eric Olson. Of course, they're from Blog Critics, and they're already here in Las Vegas, so they're already on the ground getting ready for their big booth that they're having at Blog World Expo. So it's always nice getting to be able to you know, put the faces with the voices and everything else. So it's really a nice event there. So, and you know, our guests are going to be hopefully in just a few moments to be joined by Bob and Joy Schwabeck. So they write a newspaper column called On Computers. So hopefully they'll be joining us in just a few moments here. I did talk to them before, and hopefully there's no confusion over the call-in. So I'm just checking my email real quick to make sure there's no confusion. So there may be, but so far I do not see them on the switchboard as of yet. So maybe it's just a slight delay. Well, other than that, a lot of things going on at Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget today, later tonight is the Daily Mix, which is on at 6 o'clock here Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern. It's a weekly show that we do highlighting some of the best highlights from the week previous week on Blog Talk Radio. This week, a little bit of O.J., O.J. Simpson, that is, a little bit of Father Mulcahy from MASH, a little bit of Susan Powder, a little bit of Judy Garland and her daughter and Lorna Left, and also a little bit of the Rad Girls and a few other segments as well. So it's a quick 10-15 minute quick little rundown of some of the best highlights of the previous week on Blog Talk Radio. So it's a great little a little show. So you get a chance to check out the Daily Mix, which is on the front page as well. So I encourage you to do that. And then also, what else? What else we have going on? We're waiting for our guests to join us. Hopefully they're going to join us. And also, Just Ask Asa is going to be on the 17th. Of course, he's our local finance and scam guru. He's going to be on Just Ask Asa, which will be on, it's here Wednesday at, I'm on Alan's account, so I'm thinking what the time is that these shows are set to. So you can check, you go Just Ask Asa on the homepage of Blog Talk Radio. So, and other than that, we're hoping our guests are still going to join us here. And they are from Chicago, and of course Chicago is one of the areas that was hit from the torrential downpours from the Hurricane Ike and the storms that spun off from that. So hopefully things are okay there, because I did speak with Bob Schwabeck earlier today, so hopefully things will work out fine and they'll be able to call in and join us. So hopefully there's not a problem here. And other than that, anything else going on? If you're welcome to call in, if you want to talk a little bit about Blog Talk Radio, anything else, we could do that while we wait for our guests to call in. It's 347-677-0649 if you care to join us that way, if you wish. And we're still waiting. We're going to wait for our guests for a few more minutes. If they're not going to call in, we'll see about doing something else in the meantime. Again, we apologize, but I did speak to them earlier, and they were calling in. So let's see, unless there's a problem that brewed up, so we shall see. And let's see, like I said, Alan Levy cannot join us today on his program. He's He's off taking care of some pressing business, and I am guest hosting his program. So it's a delight to be here. I'll try not to break his show. It's like stepping into, it's like, oh no, please don't let me anything go wrong. Of course, now you know we have the guests either late or no showing. You know, but yeah, I'm not the CEO of the company, so that's probably why. Maybe they think I'm just a schlub at the end of the totem pole, but. Still, I think I do a good job of these interviews, so hopefully they're still going to join us, and we can talk with them in just a few minutes. Hopefully they're still going to join us. So Bob and Joy Schwaback, they're actually from area in Chicago. I'm quite familiar with it. It's Evanston, Illinois, which is outside of Chicago, so it's a very nice area. Upper middle class, I'd say, very upper middle class for the most part outside of the city, so... but their newspaper, their column appears in so many newspapers. They're doing a great job with this. Appears in the Birmingham, Alabama, The News, the Little Rock, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, New Britain, Connecticut Herald, Orlando, Florida Citizen Gazette, Vero Beach, Florida Press Journal. Let's see here. The Geneva, Illinois Chronicle, Shreveport, Louisiana, The Times, Worcester, Massachusetts Telegram and Gazette, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the Evening Sentinel, Fort Myers, Florida, News Press, Spokane, Washington, Northwest Online, Bangkok, Thailand, in the Post, Shanghai, China, in the Daily News, and Hanoi, Vietnam, in the Vietnam News. So good for them. Good for them. So I do have some journalism experience, but in broadcast journalism, but I always admire people who could write columns, especially week after week after week. I mean, it's got to be... I used to talk to everyone. When I was a kid, I used to once in a while talk to Mike Royko, who used to write for the Chicago papers, and he used to tell me, you know, he's always had, well, for the most part, at least the years before he started to decline, Mike Royko used to tell me he'd have like 3 weeks of columns just stacked up, ready to go in case he could kind of come up with one that was more timely. He'd have some generic columns about. Normal everyday stuff he could pull out of and use them to substitute for a daily column about something more current. So I was always amazed. And then a few times I bumped in the and then some people can't do that, like Irv Kupsnet. He used to write the Cups column in the Chicago Sun Times, and I bumped into him a few times at some events. And like he said, he couldn't have these generic ads, generic columns, because everything he wrote was gossip oriented or Chicago celebrity oriented. He couldn't make up have a bunch of a flub column. I mean, he did a couple of interviews about his biography, and every once in a while you see him, I kind of put those in to take up a large piece of his column once in a while, just to give him a break or whatever. But he did hire some staff in the later years. So, but again, Irv Kupsnet from Cups Com in Chicago, great columnist, and Roger Ebert as well. Somebody's helped me out in the instant messages, so I appreciate all the help. So if you want to call in, you're more welcome to. If you want to chime in about anything to do with Blog Talk Radio, we can do that today. Why not? Until our guests show up, or maybe they won't show up, but we'll see. It's 347-677-0649. So, and again, I'm guest hosting the Alan Levy Show. Let me see. I'm trying to get, if I get somebody online, I can call them. And just a moment here. Let's see here. Again, waiting for guests to call in here. Again, there's always some slight confusion about them calling in or not. So hopefully we can rectify this. And hopefully they're still on their way. So again, it's always something to run into as a host on Blog Talk Radio. Some of these shows, terrestrial radio, whatever it is, live, they have the producers that call the guests and put them on hold and hook them up and everything else. So there's still a little, people getting used to the guests have to call in. So there is always a slight confusion with that. So that's understandable. It's a new medium, it'd be nice if, it takes some time for people to get used to the guests have to call and everything else, so that's fine. So it's no big deal. We could make do. Also, everybody knows I'm here in Las Vegas, and we have the, of course, the Cirque du Oje, the new show on the Las Vegas Strip, has hit town No, it's going to have a 5-week run here at the Regional Justice Center in Las Vegas, and it's expecting to draw thousands and thousands of visitors. It's amazing here. I live not too far from the Regional Justice Center, and you could tell it was getting bad last week in the jury selection. You know, some people were there in the costumes and all that, and then all of a sudden this morning you could drive by, and it is more of a circus. You got people wearing leotards, doing their little flips and all that stuff now, and it's just an amazing scene. People giving you free orange juice and all that. It's and the woman out there wearing a Wonder Woman outfit. So it's amazing what's going on here with this O.J. Simpson trial. I guess, like I said before, they may have some of the stuff, the original O.J. trial. So, but this is Las Vegas, so you can see some of the original O.J. trial nonsense mixed with the Las Vegas nonsense. So that's really going to make it a whole lot of nonsense. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if the Las Vegas jury can do what the California jury could not do. So we'll find out. And, here I guess, John. So there you go. And Bob, is that you?
Yeah, but Bob and Joy are here.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
How's yourself?
I'm doing fine. I talked to you earlier today. It's delighted you could join us. I was going through the newspapers that your column is in on computers. Congratulations. It's quite the collection of well-renowned newspapers. So good for you.
Yep, it runs in many countries.
Wow.
Well, at least some.
Amazing.
I don't want to exaggerate any too much. Some countries. Okay.
Well, it should be in many countries.
So we hear from readers all over the world, and it's kind of interesting if you want me to give you a couple.
Sure.
Okay. For instance, we heard from a reader in Laos, of all places, and he read us on the web, since we don't run in Laos. And he lives in Laos, his mother lives in Belgium, and he wanted our advice on what headset to use when he goes to Addis Ababa in Ethiopia.
Huh. That's amazing.
Yeah. So we advise him to get a Plantronics phone booth headset. And we heard from a guy in Malaysia who worked with Joy over the internet to make our website look better in all kinds of browsers. We've heard from readers in Russia, England, and by the way, our column does not appear in either of those countries. So they're picking us up either on the web or when they travel.
So, amazing, isn't it? I mean, are you ever surprised that when you hear people, you know, contacting you over your column, you know, here you are in Evanston, Illinois, you're getting emails from Laos and, you know, all these far-flung countries?
And a lot of times they assume we're local, too.
Yeah, they think we're just around the corner.
Especially in Vietnam, they tend to ask us about local stores in Vietnam.
Huh.
Yeah, we run in the Hanoi paper, so they ask us, you know, so where do you think's our best deal in Hanoi, you know?
Sometimes they have a problem ordering things from Amazon, and although Amazon's better than most on shipping worldwide, but sometimes we have to steer them to eBay to find places that will ship to some of these far-flung countries.
Yeah, they Joy, because you and Bob are from Chicago, the Chicago area. I get in trouble with that because I know I'm from the area. You know, you swear Illinois doesn't exist; it's just Chicago. But you're from Evanston, and then tell everybody a little about your experience and how you got involved with this column.
Okay, first of all, Joy's from Newport Beach, California.
But Bob is from Chicago.
I'm from Chicago.
There you go.
So how we got, first of all, this is the oldest computer column in the world, okay? It's been running for 27 years, so it is far and away the oldest. It runs every week, and we've never missed a week in 27 years. Okay, how did we get involved in the first place? Okay, now this is kind of odd, and in a way a story of how newspapers work. Do you remember the Commodore 64 and the Coleco machines way back when?
I prefer not to, but thanks for the memory flash.
You remember Atari and all that? You know, this is before Apple even.
Absolutely. I remember Atari. Oh, yeah. My grandparents spent a lot of money on those games.
So I was working for the Philadelphia Inquirer at that time, and I was wondering what to get for Christmas presents in these new computer toys. So I went out and did a story on it. Now, it turned out that nobody else was doing a story on this new technology. And so that story ran all over the country. And I was asked by several papers to do a regular report on computers, what they could do and what they cost, the usual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was the start of the column 27 years ago. Actually, it'll soon be 28 years ago.
Wow. Congratulations. I mean, you haven't missed. Now, it runs weekly, right? And you haven't missed a week ever, huh?
Not ever.
Wow.
You know, because they're deadlines.
Well, I was telling some of the listeners, I used to live in Chicago. I used to bump into Royko often, and he used to tell me he'd have like 3 weeks of columns he's sitting in his desk that he could just pull out and throw up there. I mean, just general columns and stuff like that. I mean, it's got to be, it's great that you keep doing it week in and week out, but do you ever run out of topics? I guess not.
No, we've never run out of topics, and we do not have columns in advance like Royko. I've met other columnists who have lots of columns in advance. Now, we do it the week for the week that's coming up.
Unless we go on vacation, then we get a couple of columns ahead. But
rare exception.
Otherwise,
there is no hopper here full of columns.
Good for you. Good for you. I mean, as the column has gone on, I mean, has it? I'm on your site right now, which again is oncomp.com, correct? And you're talking about Chrome, but has the column changed? I mean, has it changed since you started? Is it more, has it altered? I mean, have you changed the focus of your column since you started it?
Very little. The only recent change is we hardly ever do games anymore. We hardly ever review games, and that's because there are quite a few dedicated game columnists now. We still do books, and I noticed that triggered other people to do books once in a while. We will occasionally do a book at the end of the column, review. And the main thing that's different about our column is that we tend to do short subject runs. There will be three or four subjects to the column, to each one, whereas someone like Mossberg at the Wall Street Journal will devote the entire column to one subject. And I think that's true with the New York Times as well. But what I have found, and since I was a newspaper man for 20 years, I found that people tend to drift off if you run just one subject at great length. Yeah. And among those people who drift off is myself.
Well, is it, you're an old newspaper man, and so I can ask you, is it the USA Today isonation of our journalism that we need the articles short and somewhat brief? Is what they've given us is this, these brief newspaper articles now?
Yeah, absolutely. In the trade, USA Today is referred to as McPaper,
mm-hmm.
like McDonald's. And attention spans have gotten shorter. Information is delivered in, capsules and bytes. And, of course, the younger generation, teenagers now, delivered in text messages. It's even shorter yet. They even shorten the words to a special text messaging language. So the attention isn't there for long articles on single subjects.
Yeah.
You have to break it up, or you're going to lose the audience.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I'm going through your bio there on your website, and it's great. I mean, the website is very well put together. So easy to get around. I mean, it's your bio, it gives you the kind of like the bullet points and everything else. And you used to be the director of communications for the Argonne National Laboratory. So congratulations. That's every once in a while you see some of the presidential candidates or the presidents out there. That's a That's a very famous facility there outside of Chicago.
Very famous. It's where the atom bomb was begun. It was the first national laboratory. And by the way, Joy does the website.
Oh, congratulations, Joy. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Welcome.
The Well, go ahead. You were about to ask something.
I was going to ask her about the website. When putting together a website, how do you decide? A lot of websites have clutter on it, but what do you decide? How do you decide what to put on the website, what not to put on there? Obviously, the column goes on there, but do you have a hard time, with people coming at you with ads? Oh, put my computer ad up there and all that. How do you decide what goes on the site and what doesn't? Because you got quite the reputation. Congratulations, both of you. But how do you decide what goes on the website?
We don't run ads.
So far, we haven't wanted the hassle of running ads. The first thing that, when we started the website 11 years ago, the most important thing was the search button. And I was trying out different software at the time, and it was so early in the days of web creating software that not all of them let you put a search function on there, which is so handy for us because so many of our readers will say, what about that topic you wrote about just 3 weeks ago, I didn't save the newspaper clipping. Can you send it to me again? And this way they can just search our website for it. So that was the most important thing.
Yeah, the columns are there.
And we recently converted it to a WordPress blog site because WordPress made it easy to have that tag cloud that you see off to the right where there's a bunch of keywords that you can just click in case you can't think of something to search on.
Yeah. So, and Bob, and then we were talking about argon and everything else. And then what struck you to start the column and to continue it for all these years? A lot of people start columns, and then they give them up after, there's nothing more to write about. But what wakes you up in the morning to keep writing the column?
Joy wakes me up in the morning. And, because the column is fun, basically. If it's not fun, don't do it. You know, there are lots of other things to write about. There are lots of things to do. Don't keep slogging away at something you hate. And so it was easy to keep going. The technology kept moving very quickly, and it still is. It moves faster than I do after 28 years. And I want to step back for a minute and talk about a column about writing in short takes, like USA Today versus long think pieces. By the way, in the trade, long pieces like Mossberg's are called thumbsuckers. Because you sit there and you go, yeah. So, by the way, I have nothing against Walt. I never met him, and I'm sure he's a fine fellow.
I'm sure he's terrific.
it's just that sort of long piece tends to put people under. So years ago when I was at the Inquirer, Philadelphia Inquirer, not the National Inquirer.
Okay. I was going to ask you about O.J. Okay, I won't then.
Something came in about O.J.?
No. I'm here in Las Vegas, and this is where the new show in town is called Cirque de O.J. It's going to be here for about 5 weeks.
Yeah, we hear about it once in a while. But anyway, back at the Inquirer, Philadelphia Inquirer, I remember they did readership surveys on articles that ran 3 or 4 days and on articles that ran for 2,000 words or more. And what they found was that by the time you got to 1,000 words, there was roughly 30 to 40% of your readership was still there. When you hit 1,500 words, 5% of your readership was still there. When you hit 2,000 words, the readership was 1/6 of 1%.
Wow.
In other words, essentially nobody. So I just wondered how the New Yorker survives with their 20,000 word articles on, on seals or something like that.
Yeah. The listeners are asking me your latest column, which is about Chrome. Yeah, we're hearing a lot about that lately. So what's your first take on Chrome? Are you using it or what?
Well, Joy reviewed Chrome, so over to Joy.
Ah,
Well, I like the start page with the thumbnails that let you see your most visited sites, because sometimes it's much faster to see a picture and know where you want to go than to read something. And it's...
You want me to continue on this?
Yeah, I'm blanking out.
On Chrome? Okay, for one thing, it's fast. The initial complaints were that it was slow, but it's not slow. It's quite fast.
Hmm.
Okay, it gives you thumbnail shots of the screens you visited recently. So you see as a reminder as soon as it comes up, and you click on what you want, or you find a new screen if you don't, a new site if you don't see what you want.
Hmm.
The other thing, Chrome reminds me, basically, can we segue in here with a few words about Vista?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean to get to Vista as well, because I use Vista, but, yeah, we'll get to both.
Okay. One is that there have been a lot of complaints about Vista, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay. And... we noted with interest that the number of the percentage of users adopting Vista as a new operating system is greater than the percentage of users who adopted XP if you look at the same number of months since the introduction of the system. So, in fact, Vista is being adopted more quickly than Windows XP was.
Mm.
So, enough of those complaints. The other nice thing about Vista, and Joy just recently tried this out, is you can dictate to Vista just like Dragon Naturally Speaking, and it works a little better than Dragon Naturally Speaking. And
in some regard, it's easier to correct your mistakes with voice commands using Vista than it is with Dragon. Now I remember what I was going to say about Chrome. It's nice.
You notice, by the way, that we jump around.
So that's fine with me.
It's nice that the search bar at the top where you normally would type in just a web address can be used to type in a web address, or you can use it to search the web so you don't have two separate boxes. And it keeps a history of all the places you've been to, so you can click on the little icon of the wrench and say you search on the word apple. We found that an old recipe for apple pie that we'd searched on 6 months ago that we didn't remember even going to that site, so it'll pull up every instance of the word apple whenever you've searched on it. But it's still in beta, so some things can be a little buggy, like I noticed that a PDF file I wanted to open would not open in Chrome, although it opened in Firefox and Internet Explorer just fine. So they're still
interesting.
Working out the bugs.
Yeah, so we're having skills.
I mean, what does Google hope to accomplish with this Chrome?
Basically, what they expect to accomplish is to rule the world.
And they don't already? I'm shocked.
They're on their way, and actually, since they're being nice about it, what the heck? Let them do it.
Hmm.
The federal government has appointed a special prosecutor, by the way, to look into Google as a possible monopoly and violation of the antitrust laws.
Oh.
So that investigation hasn't begun yet, but they have picked a prosecutor to go into it.
Would this be reminiscent of that what they did to Microsoft years ago, actually in Chicago, if I remember right?
Yeah, it'll be just exactly the same, I would guess. Now, the upshot of it all, since you bring up that case, was that nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a lot of money was spent, and a lot of lawyers, got to retire on nice pensions. Mm-hmm. But the upshot of it all was Microsoft remains the same, and they still own the operating system.
Huh. Amazing. It's amazing. So...
I'll point out that your tax dollars were at work, so I hope you feel good about that.
Oh, wonderful. Just like I feel what's going on down the streets, our tax dollars at work for this thing, this circus. But so do you suggest people try, should we give Chrome some time to work out the, you know, the bugs, as it were? Or you guys work out the bugs for us and give us a head?
No, time. Just step in.
I tend to use it, and then I also use Firefox and Internet Explorer, just depending on my mood. You can have all three.
Somebody's asking. I am. How much space does Chrome take on your hard drive? Oh yeah, there you go.
It's not really a question of hard drive. It's more a question of your RAM memory, and I think it's supposed to be a light load. But
yeah, because Chrome exists on the web, it doesn't take up any space on your hard drive.
But
true. And of course, now what about Vista here? Now I've been using Vista for what? Over a year plus. I haven't had the problems that other people have had with it, but what do you think about Vista? Is it limping towards a quick death, or is it here forever?
No, we just pointed out a few minutes ago that the adoption rate on Vista is faster than the adoption rate on Windows XP when it was introduced. So Vista will be fine, and it will come to dominate. We're not having trouble with it either. So for those who are having trouble with it, I think a possible solution might be ritual suicide. perhaps 5 weeks of fasting, something like that. Yeah. Assume the full lotus position and hold it.
Because I think a lot of people are holding out, to not give Vista, because they heard all the horror stories, all the supposed bugs and everything else, and I thought, well, maybe they'll pull the plug on it and bring back XP, but you're saying it's here to stay. We should get used to Vista.
That's right. Get used to it.
There was actually a demonstration done by Microsoft.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Where they – go ahead and tell them.
Okay. Microsoft brought some journalists together in San Francisco to show them the beta of their next operating system and all the things it would do. And the reporters were absolutely and high-tech users, heavy users, were in absolute awe at the demonstration. And what the demonstration was a demo of Vista.
They just didn't tell them it was Vista. As long as everyone knew it was Vista, they thought it was the greatest thing they'd ever seen.
Right.
So there's a lot of unused features, and what I'm always telling people is, click on your start button and then click help and support and type in some topic. There's a lot of things there that you might not know about.
Huh.
You know, there's all that bullshit about high tech. this is fine. It works fine. There's always anxiety. Okay, the column has, since the beginning, had two rules, about new equipment. One is never buy anything with a low serial number. Okay, no matter what it is. So after Vista's been out for a few months, it'll be fine. The other thing is, no matter what you buy, you have to buy something else to make it work.
Yeah. You know, I mean, because a lot of people out there, I know when Vista first came, I don't mean to be beating up on Vista, but I mean, I'm using it as an example. So Microsoft, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but like, we still love you. But you did bring us MSNBC, so I don't know if we should be grateful or sad, but... I mean, they're saying, they came up with this Vista, fine, they came up with it, but then they knew there were these problems with and all that, and then they came up with these other products that you have to go and buy to fix the problems with Vista. So they created this thing, and then they created the accessories that you had to pay to buy those to fix Vista. So, I mean, it's a big money-making thing for Microsoft. Is that right or wrong?
It's both right and wrong. First of all, it's always been that way. Yeah. Second of all... the extras that are required, which are usually just, in this case, it's just more memory. Microsoft does not make or sell memory. So the profits tend to go to other makers.
I can't think of any products that... Can you name anything you've heard that people had to buy...
From Microsoft?
...to make Vista work? Because I haven't. You always needed antivirus software, which we, by the way, like free versions... and you can buy free version. You can use free versions of anti-spyware software. So, there's not a lot that you have to buy.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything like that. But I'm not, completely computer literate. So I'm counting on you guys to set me straight here.
Well, that's okay. We're having you killed, too.
Thanks.
So, by the way, it's not like we're gung-ho Microsoft, because we're not.
Yeah.
We don't know anyone at Microsoft. They've never even invited us to anything. So it's not like, gosh, Bill Gates is our buddy.
Bob does have a few funny stories about Bill Gates.
Uh-oh. Yeah, are they clean stories?
Yeah. Just from the early days when he...
Okay, the first time I met Bill Gates, this was entirely, was at a party in New York for the launching of a new magazine. It had nothing to do with technology, but for some reason Gates was invited, and this was in the early days. And so I think he was only worth $1 billion at that time. And I remember, so there were four of us in a small group, guys, talking. Gates was one, I was one, and a couple other people who I believe have since left for other planets.
This was back when he was single.
Oh.
And
when Gates was single and Bob was single.
Yeah, we were both single, yeah. So we're having this chit-chat, the four of us, and Gates kept looking across the room where there were two very good-looking girls sitting on chairs. Meanwhile, there was dancing going on because this party was being thrown at a nightclub.
Hmm.
Okay, so after a while, Gates says, excuse me, guys, it's time to get humble. And he weaves his way across the dance floor to the two girls sitting there, waiting to be asked. And I watch as he asks the first one, who shakes her head no. And then he turns to the second one, and she says no. And so he gets turned down by both of them.
Mm.
And
even though he said who he was and everything.
Yeah. So, yeah. Such is life.
The early days of computers. He was already pretty famous, but not among non-techies.
Which a lot of people wish they were friendlier to him back then now, huh?
Yeah.
I don't think it's changed, and I
think he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like it. I've obviously seen those commercials he's doing with Jerry Seinfeld, but he plays like the kind of nerdy kind of guy in these commercials. But he's always had a kind of a sense of humor, kind of dry. But I never, I think Gates would be approachable. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. And if he always seemed like a nerdy kind of guy, it's probably because he was a nerdy kind of guy.
Yeah.
No, but. Yeah. It's not exactly a criminal activity,
Yeah. Now, because your column is across the country and in some international locales, do you get people responding to your column with, is it based on geography, what they ask you about involving their computers? You get some of the same questions in many different languages.
No, well, some of the foreign readers ask us, where they should go to buy equipment. And they mean, where should they go, like in Bangkok? Well, we're just not that familiar with shopping in Bangkok.
But all the letters that we get, almost all the letters we get are in English because they're reading us in English language papers.
Yeah, for instance, we run in the Bangkok Post,
mm-hmm.
and that's the largest English language daily in all of Asia. And we also run in the Shanghai Times. Pretty big English paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a terrific column. And somebody's asking, ask them what the next big thing is in computers. Yeah, what's the next big thing do you guys think of? Are these computers getting smaller and smaller, or what?
Now, here's what I think the next big thing is. Okay, and that is water cooling, so that computers can run faster because they run hotter.
Right now it's air cooling.
Not right now it's air cooled, but here's going to be the real deal, okay? And that is in the water cooling, there will be a sipper coming out the front, and it will actually be cooled with either Pepsi or Coke.
You're terrible. Or alcoholic beverage of choice. But seriously, is that... Is that a thing now? I see that I go to Walmart. I'm sorry, I go to Walmart, but I see a lot of you know, these devices to cool down the laptops and all that. I mean, that's becoming bigger and bigger, and you're saying, you know, it might have, is it like water cooling for these computers? Is that right?
There are water-cooled computers available right now.
Wow. Huh.
And, they are extremely fast. They're the fastest computers of all, and they're usually purchased by game players. One of the tests are, one of the buzzes among high-techers, what's the name of that game? Will it run? There's a new game out, which I think is being distributed by Electronic Arts.
Witchcraft one or something?
No, that's not it. Will it run? God, what's the name of that game? Anyway, it's a shooting game, like Doom, okay?
Oh.
But terrific graphics, very high speed, much more sophisticated than Doom, and hardly any computers can run it.
Hmm.
Okay, it requires extremely fast processors, lots of memory, very fast graphics cards. So that's where, cooling with soda pop is going to come in.
Huh.
Probably water, actually. I don't think cooling with bourbon or scotch will work because I don't think alcohol has the proper coefficient of heat absorption that you get from water.
Hmm.
One thing we read is that 90% of all consumer internet traffic in 4 years from now will be video. So people are watching more and more video on their computers and piping them into their living room.
Huh.
Go ahead.
So I was asking, will the TV, so then maybe, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, although you guys do that yourselves, but I mean, I hear more and more people, I do an air show all about television, I hear, you know, that the TV is going to go away like the dodo bird, and everybody will be watching TV off their computers. A lot of people are doing it now, but you won't be watching TV. You'll be watching off the computers.
Well, that's just the delivery system. Somebody has the programming. But go ahead, Joy.
We've tested a couple of systems, one from Netgear and one from D-Link, and they were all right, but there was a lot of lag time and difficulty getting it set up, so... they're working on some new systems now, but so far they haven't come out with anything that people are that happy with. We took a real old product from Microsoft, not to brag on Microsoft again, but it's actually been around for 8 years or something, called Web TV, and I'm watching YouTube in my living room with it connected to the television, and it's only a couple $100 compared to some of these more expensive.
The interesting thing is it's 8 years old and it works better than the new boxes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now that brings up an interesting point about Microsoft, since it's come up much more than I thought it would. And that is they do some things poorly and they do some things really well. You know, so people, including ourselves, get very annoyed when they do something poorly. And when they do something well, we just sort of shrug and say, well, we expected them to do it well.
Right.
You know?
They don't get a lot of credit.
So, some of their stuff is almost junk, but some of their stuff is really great.
Other than the water-cooled computers, what I'm starting to get press releases about are desktop computers that are about the size of a hardcover book. So if you want the monitor and full-size keyboard instead of a laptop, you could have a small desktop.
Oh, that reminds
me. Wow.
The thing to do if you want to play video games now, not only do you want your super fast water-cooled computer, okay, and you can get them for as cheap as $800, though the really good ones are around $4,000. Okay, what you want to go with that are three monitors that wrap around your head. They do. You can mount them in a kind of arc, where you lean forward and you're in the game. Now, you can't get that at the local movie theater.
I mean, they're virtual, they're in the air.
No, you're not in the program, but since there are three monitors, things that are happening in the game in your peripheral vision, you can pick up and react to so that you're seeing not just the front screen, as most people are, but the picture extends around to the sides. Now, a few games have been written to take advantage of three monitors.
Wow. Huh.
Enough wows, you're fired.
I'm just amazed because I'm not, in all this stuff, and I'm hearing you guys. I feel like I'm so behind the times here. I mean, it's just, you get people to come in and say, "Oh my God, I'm so far behind. I'm scared that technology is leaving people behind."
No, because things are getting simpler too. Like, there's a new video camera. Well, it's not that new. It's about a year old, called the Flip. It just came out recently in a new version, and it's what I've seen just working. I've been working with Bob for 11 years. Is that things are getting easier and easier to use. Like, this new video camera is very tiny, about the size of a mouse, of your computer mouse, and you just push one button to take a video, and a little arm flips out so that you can plug it into your USB port, and then a menu will pop up on your screen asking you if you want to put it on YouTube, share it with a friend, or burn it to DVD. So things are getting much simpler, which should...
One button operation. You know, instead of the traditional Japanese method of putting high-tech devices together, which, they tell you the time, the date, and the position of Alpha Centauri in the night sky, and on and on and on until you finally say, "I just want to make a phone call," you know.
You're right.
The new trend seems to be coming out with devices for the rest of us that don't want all those complicated features. We just want a couple of easy features.
Yeah, and the people who sometimes say to us, "God, I just can't keep up, I can't cope," I'm having those people killed.
I'm trying. You know, it's just just the budgets and all that, but... it's amazing. And I go to my public library and I see that they're at about the same point as I am. So it's like, geez, if the libraries can't keep up with technology, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean for us? You know?
I want to mention, because otherwise I'll forget about it forever, about, people who are behind on technology. I've written a couple of books, okay? And I remember the first one was the second one was for McGraw-Hill, and when they wanted to see the first few chapters, I said, "Well, you know, just give me your access address, and I'll email them to you." And they said to me, "I'm afraid we're not set up for that."
That was back in 93 or 93.
You know, it's people sitting at home in their offices generally are more on the edge than businesses and government agencies. I read recently that the FBI has divisions with computer systems that can't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the hell is that? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I know what it is. It's your tax dollars at work. But anyway, over to Joy.
I was just going to say, we get a lot of mail from companies, and lately we've been getting a lot of mail from different tech support services. And the one thing they're saying is that people just don't use tech support as much as they should. They try to fix it themselves, and they get really frustrated. And so,
because they don't know what they're doing anyway.
A tech support service we really like is crossloop.com. CrossLoop, because if you find a tech support guy you like, you can keep the same one instead of getting a different one every time you call in.
Wait a minute. And we found a guy in Greece. Seriously. This guy is fantastic. He fixes everything quickly and cheaply. And we are not going to tell you who he is.
Yes, we are.
No. He's our secret.
If you go to our website and search on CrossLoop, there's a picture of him, and you can click and go to his website. But like the other day, he helped one of our readers, spent a couple of hours with him, and only charged $45. It's a lot cheaper than most of them out there, because they can connect to your computer remotely, without you having to bring a computer in, and just you can watch them and learn what they're doing. And
oh, darn it! Now we're
amazing.
Now we're going to have to kill him.
So before we got a few minutes left, but so are you guys working on your column for next week? You already got the column up for Was it, the latest one was for, whatever, here, I'm going back to your website, September 14th. So, and what are you working on for next week?
It's me.
Everything. We need to go to our mailbox, et cetera, account and pick up the avalanche of new products that have come in. We're sort of behind on Mondays, just answering mail.
Yeah. We usually don't know what's going to go in the column until the day before we write the column. Now, this is true, by the way, this is true newspaper style. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because newspapers operate on, so, you know, I forgot already what I did yesterday. What's for today?
I mean, we have some stuff we should test, like already, we have lots of stuff in our office, like Bluetooth speakerphone to use with your car stereo and new kids' educational games. And
we have some really useless stuff. In fact, we get sent a lot of useless stuff, you know, like, little dolls that say, so how are you today, Bob and Joy?
You know, plug into your computer and it's...
Oh.
And they make little announcements.
Right.
Like so, when you have email and...
So when Joy isn't looking, I take those dolls to the bathtub and I drop them in.
But it's good though, because you get a lot of products that people send you and try them out. I mean, do you ever get people that kind of trying to quote unquote entice you to give their products good reviews, if you know what I mean?
Sure. Some of them get bad reviews.
Lots of them come in as a free download now. Bob used to just get a van full of mail every week that he stopped by the mailbox, et cetera, address.
Yeah, in the early days, I needed a pickup truck to pick up.
Wow.
Serious. But now a lot of it is online, and we look at everything that's in the column. We've looked at it, okay? Namely, Joy has looked at it. So it's not parroting press releases. And if it turned out to be, kind of junky, which, frankly, that was my opinion of Dragon Naturally Speaking, which gets a lot of publicity and everybody's hot on, you know, the dictation.
Mm-hmm.
I was singularly unimpressed. Go on, Joy, you're on.
Oh, yeah, Dragon Naturally Speaking is in the column that hasn't been posted to the web but will be posted this Sunday. So we wrote about that and Vista's alternative. And Dragon has some new features making it easy to email with your voice. I thought it was...
Did we mention that, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
That one of the features of Vista is you can dictate to it?
Yeah, you mentioned
that earlier. Yeah, you mentioned it earlier. Yeah, so that's going to be the more and more refined technology, right? To be able to, you know, to be able to use your voice to run your computer, huh?
What do you mean, Dave?
All of these things like that.
It'd be like OnStar, you know? Hello.
And we wrote about this new book that came out, The Truth About Identity Theft, which has a lot of great tips for avoiding identity theft, one of which I hadn't thought of, which was don't use a hotel computer to check your email. You know, those hotel business centers?
Oh.
Half of the computers that this guy who is a frequent guest on the Today Show, half of the computers he tried out at hotels had keylogger software, meaning it made a note of it.
Does everybody know what a keylogging program is?
No.
Okay, it collects a record of every key you hit.
So
it's you're kidding.
Allowing whoever installed that on the hotel to come back and get all of your passwords and anything else that you might have typed.
Yep. Everything you typed on that hotel computer is open book.
Oh, so that's a pretty common problem in all these hotels. Huh? That's interesting.
Yeah.
50% of them.
Huh.
Oh.
So somebody sits down there and they install this on the computers? Is that how it happens?
That's the only way it can happen.
Huh.
So the thing is, don't stay in hotels anymore.
Or see if you can install something on that hotel computer, and if you can, then there's a chance that someone else has already done it before you.
Yeah, and even then I would be leery of it. Maybe the hotel did it.
That's true. Ooh. Another tip he had was for hands-free listening devices with cell phones.
Bluetooth.
Some of those, if they... have what's called automatic pairing, which makes the device work with your cell phone, then there's a chance that someone nearby might be listening in. And
yeah, what people don't seem to realize is that whenever you use a wireless device, you're doing a radio broadcast.
That's right.
You know, no matter what it is, you're broadcasting, and someone else can pick it up. Now, including telephone calls on using Bluetooth, we continually, every single day, walk by people, or they walk by us, who seem to be schizophrenic because they're talking to themselves, but they're really on the phone.
Yeah.
With Bluetooth. By the way, did you know where that name comes from?
The guy who created it had blue teeth, no?
No. It comes from a Danish king of the 6th or 7th century whose nickname was Bluetooth.
Oh, wonderful. That's a tidbit I never knew. I don't know how they came up with that name. Thank you.
He had a Bluetooth.
Huh.
So his nickname was Bluetooth, and he was a hell of a guy otherwise, you know, but
the more expensive hands-free headsets have a button you can push so that it makes it impossible for other people to listen in. But this guy actually said if your headset has automatic pairing, then you should keep your phone off except when you make a call, which doesn't sound very practical if you're hoping to receive a call.
Yeah, a little odd there. Interesting. It's fascinating. Well, I'll let you guys go. Thank you for being on for so long. Sorry I kept you for so long, but I thought it was fascinating, and the listeners are really enjoying this. So I think you guys should start your own little show here on Blog Talk Radio. I think it'd be fascinating. But you know, you could go off of the column every week. I think it'd be great.
Okay, what are you paying?
Nothing. Just a handshake and a smile. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Well, look, one more thing. Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Sure.
Take the day off.
Sorry?
Take the rest of the day off.
Thanks. But we'll check out, again, it's oncomp.com, and it's Bob and Joy Schwabach, correct?
Yeah, but unfortunately we don't have ads on the website.
Nope.
Good for you. There's hope for the rest of the world yet, right?
Right.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And it's Bob and Joy Schwabach again of oncomp.com, and thank you very much for being on. What a great couple of people those two are. Really fascinating insights into Chrome and Vista and Bluetooth and everything else. So they did a really great job on the website on their column around for years. So congratulations to them. And so we'll wrap it up here today on the Alan Levy Show. Once again, I'm Sean O'Mac sitting in. Thank you to Alan Levy for allowing me to grace his program. I hope I didn't break it, Alan. I'll leave the furniture exactly where I left it. And never mind that grape juice stain on the living room floor. I'll send me the bill for the carpet cleaners. And don't forget to join us at 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern. We'll be back with TV Talk with Daniel Manu from Television Without Pity, which is owned by NBC Universal. And then at 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern, I'll be back on with The Daily Mix. It's a quick 15-minute or less run-through of some of the top guests from the previous week on Blog Talk Radio. So check all that out tonight, and we thank them. Bob and Joy Schwabach again for being on. Oncomp.com is our website. Please check it out, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on the Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.